Welcome home, neighbors. This is the Royal family from Reading, Pennsylvania, owners at Old Key West Resort. You are listening to my DVC points.
Parents and the children could have fun together.
Please board quickly and safely. Our monorail will be departing momentarily.
Welcome to the My DVC Points podcast. Join the conversation as DVC members share their stories, personal preferences, and magical memories. Your reservation is confirmed. Your fast passes are booked. Pull up on the yellow strap because our journey into the magic of membership is about to begin.
To infinity and beyond.
Now, here's your host and curator of magical stories, Chad Pennycuff.
Welcome home, neighbors, to episode 73 of the My DVC Points podcast. Today's show is brought to you by our friends over at Monera Financial. This is the sixth and final episode of the Disney Riviera Resort Review Series. So far, we've talked to four individual owners in one-on-one interviews, and now this is the second half of the multi-member review, where Joe, Caleb, and Amy are joining me to finish up this discussion of the Riviera Resort, the laundry facilities, some cast compliments, and all things about this resort. Without wasting any more time, let's thank our friends at Monera Financial for helping your families save a bunch of money through refinance or even direct purchase finance. And we're going to jump back into today's show right where we left off. Laundry facilities. My room was right there, and it looked like there was three washers and six dryers.
Sounds about right. I have the laundry view up. I used it the night before we left because I hate coming home with dirty clothes. I'd rather come home with clean clothes. I don't know if this was just because it was opening weekend, but they were giving laundry detergent away. Usually you have to pay for it in there, and they were giving it out.
Yeah, there was no shortage of supplies. There was a lot there for anyone who needed it.
That's good. Maybe they're going to start doing that just regularly.
Yeah, it's ironic that you mentioned this because they did build the little vending machine in there for laundry soap. But then DVC did a policy change where they're just going to start giving away the soap and you don't have to start paying for it anymore.
Yep.
And that came out right about the time I was going there. So there was just all kinds of laundry soap sitting up there, just ready, freely available to use.
Yeah, that all actually went down. Me and a couple other people on Facebook had noticed that change to the verbiage online to all the sites, like as far as the various things like towels and such. The verbiage changed back in August. And so I was there in September and I asked for towels and she's like, yep, no problem. And I asked for extra dish soap one day, no problem. So I think it's just kind of becoming the standard thing. I think it just got too much work trying to sit there and say, we're going to charge this person $4 and this person $7. It was just easier to say, you know what, we're just going to eat it.
Yeah, and you have to come in and say, this person's cash, so we're not going to charge them, and this person's DVC. So it's a nightmare logistically.
So here's what I'm a little concerned about. We have three washers and six dryers. Mm-hmm. And when I look at the room inventory here, I'm coming up with 210 possible studios if nobody books a lock-off. That seems a little understaffed in the laundry department.
It was full the night I went in there. I had to wait.
Yeah, I don't know if everyone plans to do laundry on vacation. Some people are just fine to bring home a suitcase full of dirty laundry. I'm not one of those people either, but I'm really not sure that most folks on a regular cash stay at Disney World are planning to do laundry.
Well,
yeah, but this is a DVC exclusive resort, so it should be all DVC members that are there.
As it shifts to being a whole lot more DVC members, you're going to have a whole lot more people that are just like us that say, hey, I like to do my laundry because I do it at every other place.
Just to give you an example, I mean, this is a similar size laundry room to Boulder Ridge, similar size laundry room to Beach Club, which are smaller by a long shot in terms of total room inventory.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking this could be a problem area coming back up. So people make note of that if you're laundry people. And my family is. We fly Spirit where you pay for bags a lot. And so we like to come down with three outfits and then just throw a load of laundry in every day. Now, granted, we're usually in a one bedroom, so we have our own, and it's not that big a deal. The other cool thing that I'll talk about on laundry here, and we saw this in the one bedroom. Did anybody see or have a collapsible laundry basket in their room for the studios?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought that was incredibly cool that you could just store that thing right away. Didn't take up a lot of space, but if you needed it, it pops right out and you have a full-size laundry basket there.
I'm sure for a lot of people, that's fantastic. I mean, I've got an owner's locker and we've got collapsible ones in there, so it didn't bother me, but seeing for people that don't, I mean, that's handy because a lot of the studios don't have them at all. Like you're stuck having to lug stuff in a bag or in a suitcase. So having that be able to lug at least one load of laundry, the downside, like for my room, we were at the all the way above the Skyliner. You were on the opposite side. It was probably a 5-minute walk to get to the laundry.
It probably was because you had to track that whole length over.
Whole hallway. Yep. It was way over there.
Yeah. I was pretty close to where the Tower Studios were as well on that west side. And in addition, something to think about is if you are on the first floor or you are on the third floor, like I was, you cannot walk all the way across to the west side. So you're going to have to get on the elevator before you go up or down.
And for us, it was just around the corner and down one set of stairs to be right there at the laundry room. So it was a very convenient location. We were probably right, could have knocked on your door, Chad.
Yeah, but that's good to know that if you're on the first or the third floor, that probably explains why it's on the fourth floor.
Yeah.
Because you could just take an elevator up to that and cruise straight across and not have a problem.
Yeah, because
or down to the fourth.
I think it's 4 and above, you can walk the whole hallway, but 3 and below, you're stuck with the lobby and I guess the staircase and stuff on one.
I thought it was also strange, the airline check-in being down there on that first floor. I would have to go to the lobby and take the stairs, or I would have to go to the east side, the elevators and go down, or I'd have to go outside at some point if I took the elevators that were close to my room.
Yeah, I still don't understand how they haven't put at least a single one-floor elevator right there where those stairs are for accessibility purposes. Because if you're in a wheelchair or an ECV and you want to go from the lobby to the main grounds, you have to go to an elevator on one end or the other of the building, go down and then come back.
The East Bank's not too far from there and it does go direct.
Yeah, I guess you just got to go around by the restaurant.
Neither of the elevators are very far. It's only about, for the West Bank, it's only about 2 or 3 rooms. And then the West Bank is just around the corner from that little lounge area.
Got it. I didn't really notice the elevators, but I was on the fourth floor east side. So for us, everything that we did was right there off of our elevator bank. So I didn't notice that issue. I'm glad you guys brought that up because I think the listeners could appreciate that one. Speaking of elevators and moving, that leads us into our next topic of transportation. And obviously the Riviera here has got the king of what I consider Disney transportation. Move over monorail. There's a new king in town and his name is the Disney Skyliner.
Absolutely. Awesome feature of the resort. Absolutely.
Every single person in my family absolutely adored the Skyliner. That includes my 15-month-old son that every time we would take off, he would just squeal with delight, just loving every moment of it.
I mean, my family thought it was purely magical. And I had my reservations and was pretty skeptical about this stuff until last summer when I saw them doing tests 2-3 months before the Skyliner opened. And you see all these bright, fully colored, unwrapped Skyliners going to the parks. And I just picture all of these families coming in and having magical vacations. And to me, it was magical just watching the Skyliner. As much as I like watching the monorail go by from a theme park view room at Bay Lake Tower, it's just something about it that's just relaxing and magical. And you just see all of these families having the time of their lives. I think watching the Skyliner is as much fun as riding it.
So I was there in September, which they opened, what, late September, right? And It was the kind of that final phase of testing. I think the week after I was there in September, they did cast member previews. And I told my wife, I was like, the unique part about the Skyliner that changed the whole dynamic, especially at Hollywood Studios and that back entrance at Epcot, although it was kind of nice that that place was real quiet at the International Gateway, it brings a kinetic energy that wasn't there before. You go up to any of the Magic Kingdom resorts and you have the monorail keeping things kind of going. You have the boat activity. It's kind of busy and fun and exciting. Whereas Hollywood Studios was quiet. There was nothing there. And all of a sudden now you've got all these gondolas going back and forth and it just brings this kinetic energy that you can't, there was no other way to do that.
It brings this vibrancy and I guess kinetic or connectivity. It feels like now all of a sudden pop, art, Caribbean Beach, Riviera, Epcot resorts, they're all interconnected and intertwined now. And it feels like it's one community through there. And I absolutely positively love it.
It feels like a whole new little neighborhood that has been created with the way the Disney Skyliner has connected those four resorts together. And then, of course, connecting over to the boardwalk area as well.
Yeah, I think that you nailed it there, Amy. And I'll be honest, as a beach club owner as well, I was really concerned that our little international gateway was going to get hammered with people. And I've been there a few times in and out of it. And they've beefed up the security there for the checkpoints. They've beefed up the ticket people coming in and out. They've moved guest relations outside of that. And to me, I don't notice it at all. I think that it just blessed it up.
It's no longer the quiet little entrance that was once there. I mean, I've been a beach club owner since before beach club existed. And there was a time where that place was, it was super quiet back there. I mean, you might see five people walking in and out of the place at the time. So it's not that anymore, but there is no sense that things are busy to where you're stuck in lines or it's crowded. I mean, they're doing fine. The expanded entrance is fantastic. And it's made life so much better. We were talking about eating ice cream earlier at the pool at Riviera. Well, if you're not happy with that ice cream, you can go jump on the Skyliner and you can be at Ample Hills in 10 minutes.
Very true. And I think as beach club owners, I saw a bunch of us posting that we were like, oh, there goes the neighborhood. In a negative way, anticipating it. But I think it's more of what Amy was speaking with, where it's like, hey, we're now part of this vibrant neighborhood that's all interconnected now, and we can get more things faster, easier, and it expands the accessibility of cool, awesome Disney options that are there.
This is Walt's vision of Epcot in action. It really is.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, Joe. I think you nailed it there as well.
Yeah, it completely changes just what resorts I want to stay at. We have a trip coming up in February, and our airfare and everything, I started looking at it, and coming in one day earlier, it was cheaper for me to get a cash room at Pop and to just come in one day earlier. Well, I got a phone call maybe 2 weeks ago to upgrade to a moderate, and they offered me over at Coronado Springs. And I stayed there last summer in the tower. I just told them, I said, well, I kind of want to be on the Skyliner. And so unless you're going to upgrade me to Caribbean Beach, I think I'll just stay at Pop.
Yep. It's one of those things that you didn't realize at first, what was this going to do in terms of, you know, the big comparisons were the monorail, right? Everybody's like, well, it's not going to beat the monorail. It just can't, it's not going to be as good. Look how many people it moves.
Oh, it surpasses the monorail.
It's an estimated 4,000 people per hour per direction. That's way more than the monorail could ever dream of.
Oh, and there's no wait.
And there's no wait.
Maybe 3-4 minutes at most. We saw it and they were like expanding out the queue. And then once they started loading it on, that queue was clear and we were on that thing in 4 or 5 minutes tops. Whereas I've had to wait 20 minutes just to set foot on a monorail before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a dinner reservation over at Wilderness Lodge, and on our way back, normally the convention says, okay, well then if you're going to come back to Riviera, take some kind of transportation over to Magic Kingdom and then a bus back to Riviera. And I just said, nope, let's go to Hollywood Studios and take the bus to Hollywood Studios and then hop on that Skyliner. Mostly just because I don't have to fold the strollers. I just get to wheel that stroller right in. They allowed us to have an ECV and a stroller inside the cabin of the Skyliner. It was amazing.
Yeah, as long as it's not a double wide, like a city GT, you don't have to fold it.
Good point. I didn't realize that about the wide ones that you had.
Yeah, the wide ones you have to just because they don't fit between the seats. But like we were there with the baby. And we were using her infant seat carrier, and it's just a single with the infant seat, and we just roll it right on.
With the ECV, my mother-in-law would wheel in, and then we would put the stroller in. And as long as the doors would close, they allowed it to happen. Just because of angles, if we, like we tried to put the stroller in a different way where we could just wheel out, and the wheel was sticking out, and they said, no, you can't do that. But of course you can't do that because the doors can't shut. We were able to get it in where we just wheeled it straight in and backed it out and everything fit. And they said, you're good to go. Sayonara.
That's awesome. So with them having the dedicated stations at Epcot, at Caribbean Beach in Hollywood, and Art has them as well.
Art and Pop share the same station.
Well, every place other than the Riviera Resort has a dedicated station for entry and exit of those ECVs. Caleb, how was the experience getting the ECV on and off of Riviera compared to the dedicated stations?
So the dedicated stations, those gondolas are just sitting waiting for you, and you roll on and they put you in the line. At Riviera, they have to stop the line. There was one point where we didn't have our strollers. We were just going over to Beaches and Cream real quick, so we just carried my son. And they slowed down the Skyliner and allowed my mother-in-law to just zoom right in. But when we had both the ECV and the stroller, they would stop the Skyliner for her to be able to get on and us to get the stroller in. And so, you know, when you are coming back from Epcot or something, it's very probable that if it is stopping, that the ECV is getting on. But at the other stations, they just work you right in and the Skyliner never stops.
So no issues at all getting in at the other stations. And then for you, it's not much of a issue because they slow it down or stop. But for everybody else that's on there, which could be, to Joe's point, a few thousand people, they all have to take a little bit of a momentary pause. So just keep that and bear that in mind.
I was watching it from our room, and I mean, you could tell when they would have to load somebody, and it was maybe 30 to 45 seconds on average, maybe a minute tops for most. It was,
that's not bad.
It's a quick, I mean, I know it's for some people that are already adverse to the whole Skyliner and it's scary. And then all of a sudden you've got to stop. It creates this whole other set of fears. But for anybody who's okay with it, it's nothing but a minor blip on the 10-minute ride.
Got it. Now, did you guys take a bus to any place else on Disney property while you were there?
Yes.
We took a bus to Disney Springs. And I will say that we were not too impressed. I mean, this... I'm trying to say that maybe it's a opening hiccups. None of the times were really listed. There might be like one time. It didn't matter if it was in the app or it was on the monitors there at the bus stations. We didn't really have anything. It was just kind of when it showed up. We did get information from people standing around that say, oh, you know, when's the last time you saw a bus for this go by or anything? But I was kind of unimpressed with that. I will say that I did enjoy that it's down the hill. And so pushing that stroller, again, we got to go down the hill versus other places you might have to go uphill or over the hill and through the woods to get to your bus stop.
Well, just keep in mind on the way back at the end of the night, you're coming up that hill when you're parked dead tired. So.
Oh, no. That's why you always go to Hollywood Studios and get on the Skyliner.
We use the bus to get over to Magic Kingdom as well as Animal Kingdom.
Did you guys notice the buses? Like it was only one day, but the buses were dedicated. They were straight. They didn't share and they were empty the days that we used them. But I didn't know if they added sharing with any other resort since that first weekend.
I only went to Magic Kingdom on the bus. I didn't take it over to Disney Springs or one of the water parks. So I just went to Magic Kingdom. And typically Magic Kingdom runs don't share.
Yeah, that's true.
To your point, Caleb, I was really shocked as well that there were no in-app notifications. The little monitors weren't working. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself going, hello, we've known this resort was going to open for how many years in transportation? You didn't get your act together and wasn't ready for opening day. And a month later, you're still not. So that one was a little bit of a head scratcher to me.
Did they, question too, with that in mind, did they have the signs at the Riviera Skyliner station pointing you which way to go? Because they did not. Opening weekend, that was one of those things I actually had to point out to a cast member. I was like, you walk out here and you're not sure if you want to go to Epcot. Luckily, I knew what I was doing because I'm a fanatic and I researched way more than most people do. But for most people walking out, they didn't know if they needed to walk straight to get on the Epcot line or do they need to go around the backside to get on the Hollywood Studios line. It wasn't very clear. So I didn't know if they finally got signs in for that or not.
They do have signs and they also have cast members there. And the signs still weren't apparently over the top clear to me.
Okay.
But I did figure it out. And then a couple of times I had to like pull my family back going, no, we have to go around this time to get over to Hollywood, or no, we go straight on to go to Epcot. So that was still a little confusing. And I thought they could have done a little bit better job, but the signs were there, but they still had a cast member there pointing them out. So obviously I can't be the only one sitting here thinking the signs aren't too clear.
Yeah. The only signs that were there was just like a little A-frame sign.
So yeah, they're supposed to have some permanent signs going in that are overhead.
And even the A-frame signs, you know, it was so artistic and things that it wasn't abundantly clear that, hey, oh, you got to go this way to get to Hollywood.
Yeah. And one of the things that my friend McNair, who's a former Imagineer, will tell you is they go low on the signs when they put something new in because they really want to see how people react to it before they come back in and determine what the right signs are and what signs are needed. So they could have intentionally held this one back. But the other thing that really shocked me on transportation here was it seems like that bus stop is a mile and a half away from that resort. I know it's not, but I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so spoiled from being Copper Creek Boulder Ridge that little just short jaunt right out to the bus stop or any place else that I've kind of been. It seems like this was a little bit longer walk from the resort to the bus stop than any place else I've been.
It felt a tad bit longer than Beach Club. Beach Club's is pretty far too.
We were sitting on our balcony and we could see folks coming and going right directly down to the bus. And we were watching all of the Run Disney folks coming back. And you could tell who had just finished running. So there's a little good people watching if you can sit on the balcony on the east side there in a standard and enjoy that.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Did you guys go to the member update when you were there?
Yes.
Yes, we did.
Okay. So who wants to tell us a little bit about it and what people can expect for going to member update?
I had seen that the member update was taking place before our trip happened. So I think it was maybe the second day that we were at the resort. I called the front desk to find out how to get a reservation to participate. And they were already booking 4 or 5 days ahead. So she gave me a number to call and I called and made that appointment. And so I think it was a Friday morning. My husband and I attended and it was inside the 3-bedroom grand villa, which was absolutely beautiful. And we all received a little gift and the information was provided to us. And that was about it. It was pretty simple, really nice to be able to see inside that 3-bed grand villa. And to our delight later on, we noticed that we had some bonus fast passes as a thank you for our time. So that was nice.
All right.
Yeah, I was shocked at the fast passes as well. I was not expecting them at all.
No, neither were we.
Yeah, unfortunately, we did ours on the day before we were leaving. And we did the tour in the late afternoon. And it wasn't until maybe 6:30 that we got the fast passes. And again, I didn't know about them either. And I'm sitting over at Epcot and I'm like, well, what do I do with all, you know, 3 extra fast passes that you couldn't use at for Frozen either? So
ours worked out perfectly because we ended up getting kids' night out to come in for our son so that my husband and I could do a Disney date night. So we got to use those extra fast passes to do some thrill rides together that we can't usually do as a family.
Oh, awesome.
It was great.
Joe, was member update going on when you were there?
They were doing quite a bit, but that first day when I walked by, because they've got all those preview rooms in the sales kind of center right there on that first floor, just off the lobby. So the second floor, actually. And they were doing video tours, it looked like, for Disney Parks blog and a few other things. So I don't think they were running it the first day. Second day, we just didn't even have time to even look into it if we wanted to. So we just figured next trip when we come back, we'll have a chance to do it. But yeah, it was pretty, they had camera crews and all kinds of stuff running in and out of there when I was there that first day.
Got it. I did it on my check-in day, just out of dumb luck. I checked in at around 1:30-ish, got done about 1:45. And walked over and saw the guy signing people up for the tour. And I asked if I could get on it and was told, hey, it's sold out, but hang out here because there's usually some no-shows. Sure enough, I was like, okay, well, I'll just go over and grab a coffee from the coffee shop over there. Phenomenal latte. It can hang with Starbucks, just by the way. The pastry over there was what you would expect from any French pastry.
Their cold brew was phenomenal. I was happy.
Well, Starbucks is kind of my bar. I'm kind of a new to the coffee person. And if you can hang with Starbucks, you're doing well in my book. So they can hang with Starbucks. So I had it again the next day before going to Hollywood Studios. They were open at like ungodly AM at like 5 something in the morning when I was rope dropping Hollywood Studios to get a Rise of the Resistance boarding pass. But that being said and done.
Chad, did you get the chance to look at a tower studio as part of your member update?
I did. I thought, oh my gosh, what a small little closet. Okay.
I loved it. I thought it looked really cozy and I could totally picture myself and my husband staying there.
I think if I were trapped with my wife in there for any amount of time, it would not end well. I just thought it was just really small.
But great if you want to just stay for, you know, food and wine. You don't expect to spend a whole lot of time in the room.
2 nights. Two nights is all I could do.
Yeah, so you're with me on that one, Joe, okay? Because I was like, man, this is a huge bathroom and a tiny room. But the really cool part is, and I confirmed this with the guide, every single one of those 27 rooms has a great Epcot fireworks view.
They do.
Yeah.
And there's not a bad one there. One of them, you might have to turn your head a little bit, like one of the three positions. But every single one there has a great view. And I thought, you know, the cheapest rooms in the place have the best view of the Epcot fireworks. Interesting. And then the other part that just hit me was I could get a full-blown studio over at Old Key West or Saratoga or a standard view at Animal Kingdom for the same point price. Now, I'm giving up the Skyliner and I'm giving up all of the wonderfulness of Riviera that we've been talking about. But from a point stretching perspective, it's not really a point stretcher.
No. It will be very, very popular for food and wine because you do have access via Skyliner to where it'll be like the beach clubs and boardwalks in terms of that. And it just allows people to come for 2 or 3 nights, 2 adults without their kids, you know, and go that route without having to get on buses all the time to get to food and wine. I think that's where those are going to be the most popular.
I think that's going to apply to the whole resort, Joe. I think that whole resort is going to be food and wine crazy.
Yeah.
The same way beach club and boardwalk is.
Yeah. It's only about another, 7 minutes travel time max compared to being at beach club. So yeah, it's convenient as all get out there.
We'll be staying there over President's Day weekend and Valentine's Day for 4 nights. So I guess I'm going to double what Joe and Chad can do with my wife.
You'll have to give us a report back on that one if there's any surviving or marriage counseling required or anything along those lines.
We'll see.
So a question for the three of you, since you guys did the member update, this is a running DVC question. Is it true that there are Keurigs or pod style coffee machines in the Grand Villas? Because that's what I've heard, but I didn't know if it was just one of those things. Maybe they put it in the Grand Villa for the models just because people may want a cup of coffee, but I didn't know, because that's a big deal in the DVC community. What type of coffee maker we've got?
I can't say that I remember seeing it, but I think if I remember right, I think in the Tower Studio, it had the Keurig.
I do know that for sure. That's just from a space saver perspective, but I was kind of weird when somebody had said that the Grand Villas had it. I'm like, that's the opposite room you would want to put a 2-cup Keurig in.
Yeah, that one I can't speak to. I can tell you right now, they're giving away a really cool Rice Krispie treat. A Riviera pen that looks like it's going to be a collector's item limited edition with Mickey and Minnie on it in some pretty fancy clothes. And then a really cool little gift bag holding it all, plus some free snacks like Coke and Diet Coke and bags of chips and things along those lines.
Yep, one of those Rice Krispie squares or round Rice Krispie squares made at home with us. And we split it a couple of days ago and it was a nice little taste of home.
I think the kids snarfed mine. I have yet to see it since they showed up.
Yeah, and I was told by the cast member that booked it for us that it would be one pen per family. And so your mileage might vary based on when you go and who's doing it. But they gave every single one of us a pen. There was 4 of us that they gave it to. We got 4 pens.
We also got one each.
Oh, that's really good to know, because I was there solo because I took an earlier flight than the family so that I could video the room. And because by the time my wife got off work in Detroit, took a flight down, I knew it was going to be dark and I wanted to film the room in the light time. Okay, wrapping up the show, we mentioned this earlier that these guys have done an incredible job recruiting and picking the best of the best. Let's talk cast compliments from your visit. Was there anybody there that deserves a special shout out and a cast compliment?
We We had a really nice time chatting with Kevin, who was one of the lifeguards at the Riviera pool. And that was right on the day that we checked in. So we were still waiting for our room to be ready. And he was very friendly. He was talking about the resort. And then when our room was ready, he even helped to sort of direct us where to go to get to that part of the resort, since we didn't really have the lay of the land yet. And then there was Joffrey, who was a greeter, and he was the first friendly face that we saw when we arrived. And he sort of showed us where to go for the check-in process because that lobby was so busy.
I had a great experience with Joffrey as well. So I didn't list him as my cast compliment, but every time that I made a visit to the resort on my initial walk-in, he's been there working. And I read his name tag and I instantly think of the coffee guy.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a good name for Disney, I guess.
He was very warm and friendly. Perfect personality for the role that he has there.
Yeah, I could almost see him being the new Richard if he sticks with this long enough.
That's tough shoes to fill right there.
Yeah, it's tough shoes to fill. I'll put it to you this way, Joe. I think if he set the goal to be the Richard of the Disney Riviera Resort, he's got what it takes. He could pull it off.
We also had really great interactions with Antonio at the front desk. I just went up there and I had a small issue trying to pay for my room with a gift card. And he came in and he took care of it very, very quickly, but then also took a significant amount of time to just talk to me and get to know me. We had discussions that were just non-Disney related, and it was just overall just very warm and friendly.
I had a great conversation with him as well. It was probably about 30 minutes because it was really slow at that point in time, because normally check-in's at 4 and I got there at like 1:30-ish. And so, yeah, I had a really long conversation with him. Really great guy, really informative, and really a great selection. You looked at him and you went, yep, I see whoever is doing the hiring at this resort really has their stuff together, because they picked a really great cast member for this role.
I'd also give a shout out to Kevin, our waiter at Topolino's for breakfast. He was just overall very informative. He very knowledgeable of the entire menu, was able to read us and know when to come by, when to make himself known, and when to disappear, essentially. And I couldn't say better things about one of the waiters there.
Yeah, for me, Tamara was that person for us at Topolino's breakfast. And I just loved her genuinely positive, enthusiastic outlook. You run across cast members every now and then that you don't really get the feeling that they drink the Kool-Aid, so to speak, or they're not feeling the pixie dust. And Tamara was just full of pixie dust and Disney magic. Conversations with her were right on point about everything going on property. You could tell she was as big a fan as we are. And for those of us that come back in and listen to podcasts and create podcasts, we're pretty high-end pixie dust addicts here. And she was right there with us. And it just made everything that much more pleasant at breakfast. And then not to mention the service was just on point and awesome. Every time we needed something, she was right there. She was knowledgeable about everything. I can't say enough great things about Tamara there. And then I also had a really great experience with John from Bell Services. Not only on the check-in part with the awkwardness of, I know my room's ready, but I want to go to this member tour, but I don't have time to do it because I just got here and they snuck me in. So he did a great job holding that. But then when he helped me come back up to my room, because I had an owner's locker to bring up there as well, he's just like, I'm just going to help you out. You don't have to try to carry your backpack and all this. It's 2 o'clock or 2:30 in the afternoon after the tour. And we're not going to get busy until 4 when people start checking in. So he actually came up to the room. And then when I told him I had to do a YouTube video, he offered to come back in and help me explain everything in the room and did all of this wonderful, great footage. And come to find out, he was a film student as well. So he really enjoyed coming back in and giving some pointers on camera shots and just how to really make the resort pop for a great YouTube video. And I was like, man, this is above and beyond. Who does that as a cast member that comes back in and takes the pride and says, hey, look, man, I'm going to help you create a wonderful video for YouTube that really demonstrates what the room is. And I told him, you know, my motif, there's all these people out here doing YouTube videos today where they talk through it. And I don't want to hear somebody's talking through it. I just want to hear some background music and show me the room in a nice, consistent, clean 10-minute fashion of a walkthrough through the room. And he's like, I get it. I'll help you do that. And he did. And I was like blown away. So kudos to John. And then kudos to Becca as well for taking the time to make sure I had the really good inside scoop on all of what's going on in recreations to come back in and create this episode. That was exceptionally cool. During that conversation, she took me to the Eventy room as well and was explaining to that. Did you guys go into the Eventy room?
I walked around. I didn't really sit and go through a bunch of detail, but I got the chance to walk around inside there.
No, we didn't get in there.
The deal is, unless there's an event going on in there, it's closed. It's not like a community hall where you can just pop in. However, once you're in there, it's like an elevated community hall. It's really nice on the inside. Mm-hmm. And she told me that it was designed to be a multi-purpose room so that when they're hosting an event there, they've got a really great space to do it. And there's some big screen TVs in there. There's some tables for instructional classes. There's like some sitting area in there. It's really nice in there. And I kind of get what they do. Although part of me is going, yeah, but I'm a DVC member and I miss community hall. Okay. I love the resorts with community hall. I guess I'll have to see how this plays out and just trust that they're taking things up to the next level or doing it at a more reasonable staffing level than maybe a community hall is to keep staff. But I really did appreciate that. And I appreciated all the expertise and knowledge and sharing with me. And she also told me a little bit about her background as well, which really kind of let me know she's been around at Beach Club and worked at some of the children's playhouses in there. So she kind of gets it and really just showed that, hey, look, I got this and I'm an expert at what I do and we're awesome here. And I was like, yep. It got back into that theory that I was going, whoever did the staffing at this resort really knew what they were doing and really pulled in some great people. So everybody go enjoy the resort. That's kind of my deal on it. Do you guys have any final thoughts for people?
I was going to say, I was going to give my one cast compliment. I was trying to rack my brain because it's been a month and I haven't really slept with a baby at home. But I want to say his name was Esteban, the guy that our server from Topolino's. He was fantastic. And you could, as you said, that you could tell the staffing level is just top notch there. Being first night, you'd expect some hiccups and things like that because, I mean, they're still learning the menu. He didn't miss a beat. So I think it's just going to get better and better up there with that core group that they hired for that restaurant.
Awesome. Anybody have any thoughts to share here to like wrap up the show on the Riviera Resort? And are you guys proud that you own there? And how many other home resorts do you guys have to compare this to?
So the one thing that I think we didn't cover that I think people really have to slow down and take note of is the artwork. The artwork is exquisite and it's done in such a way that I'm not a big art guy. As Ted, I can't paint worth a darn. So I don't see it. You know, I'm not one of these guys that can walk into an art exhibit and say, oh, this person's trying to bring this out of this emotion out of somebody. I'm not one of those guys, but they did such a good job of making this old school art, but adding that Disney touch and that Disney flair, you know, ranging from the little mosaics you get in the hallway or in some of the rooms to the giant tile work they did to the Skyliner entrance as you're walking over there with the Tangled tile work and then you had the Peter Pan tile work. You could spend an entire day just walking around the resort looking at that stuff.
I have to agree with you. The tile mosaic is just jaw-dropping awesome, okay? That's like in its own...
Unreal.
That's like its own level of architectural art, okay?
Something like 1 million pieces they had to put in that thing?
Yeah, it's an insane amount of work, and it's exceptionally beautiful. And I even looked at it at first and went, what are they doing with these ponds in my way when I'm trying to walk through here? But now that I've been there, I kind of like the fact that it forces you to slow down and you get this tranquility of the water in there to help kind of reflect upon it and kind of soak it all in. So yeah, I'm with you on that one. And then, yeah, if we're going to go down the art route, you have to comment on what Princess Katie did from her episode with the Minis and Mickeys into the railings that are hidden Mickeys, mm-hmm. and then the hidden Mickeys in the carpet.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, so the Fab Five that are right there by all the elevators. You know, they've got them imprinted into the carpet.
Yeah, that was off the charts cool. And then I really liked the artwork that's over there in just the character art from the movies mm-hmm. and various things that are there. I thought that was a really nice, elegant way of Disneyizing things and adding some theming to the resort, but yet not taking away from the elevated stature of the resort. Okay, because this isn't like it's an all-star where it's just in your face theming. It is a nice, simple, elegant, but yet still uniquely Disney level of feel to it. So you could really tell it was a deluxe resort.
Absolutely. And it's super subtle. I'm sure you guys have seen the picture like behind the Murphy beds where they've got, it looks like you're on the French Riviera. It's like that scene from Cars 2. And it looks like it's just a painting. And then all of a sudden you look real close. You're like, oh, that's Lightning McQueen driving up the promenade. But if you stand back 10 feet, you don't even know that's Lightning McQueen. It just looks like a nice painting. So it's very, very, very subtle, but it's just right.
I'm going to have to check out the Lightning McQueen one. I didn't notice that when I was
there. Each Murphy bed, well, I'm sure it's not every single one, but there's variations of it.
There's like four.
We had a 101 Dalmatians. I've seen pictures of an Aristocats and the Cars one. I just also wanted to say, like, at this resort, the two ways into the resort, the Skyliner and using the bus transportation, when you come in, you're going right by water. You got the two fountains there at the main entrance that are there. And then when you're coming in the Skyliner, those mosaics coming over top of you, and you got two fountains there. It's just very, very welcoming. When you compare that to, say, going over to Kidani, where you get off that bus and you might trek away from the lobby if you're on one side of the resort, where you don't even go through the lobby. You just immediately go to your elevator. Or Old Key West, where you get off and, you know, you're just going to your place. It's just very different that you felt like you were really transforming coming into the resort. Whichever mode of transportation you got there, you could really say you were going to the Riviera.
Oh, yeah.
That is true.
And if you're lucky enough to be on the Skyliner on the way back from the park when the fireworks are taking place, it's a really special experience as well.
That's something I wanted to time. I didn't time that this last trip, and that's going to happen in October.
Yeah, I could see that one being a life goal as well. I'm still blown away by your comment there on the fountains, because that's a very European thing, is to have the leisurely fountains there. And I didn't put that together from my couple of visits there. So that's a great observation.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I spoke about it a little bit. I mean, I did a lot of European travel whenever I was in college. And that's one of the reasons why I really wanted to buy in at the Riviera, is because just that whole European vibe, the fountains, the artwork, not to correct you, Joe, but it's the whole Sensational Six that's on right there.
Oh, I thought it was Fab Five. It's got
Pluto on there too. So it's got every single one of them. So it's just a really, really nice place that it gives me some of those memories that I had as a young fool going across Europe.
Got it. Now, I asked this question earlier, and I'm still curious. Joe, what all resorts do you call home?
So we used to, Beach Club was one. We just recently sold that. My parents decided they wanted to move over to Riviera, so they sold their Beach Club and moved there. But me and my wife own Animal Kingdom and Polynesian along with Riviera.
Amy?
Riviera is our first and only home.
Welcome home.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Thank you.
And Caleb?
We have a contract over at Animal Kingdom, and then this Riviera contract. And then I am in the middle, hoping to get through Rofer on a Copper Creek contract.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So what do you guys think of making Riviera your home? Are you happy with that decision?
Yeah, we're definitely looking forward to returning to Riviera.
For me, it was one of those things that when the resale restrictions were announced, it was questionable. But for us, we've been talking about adding on to my parents' beach club forever. But I just could not commit the money to go to a 2042 expiration. I was just like, I'm just not going to do it. But I wanted an Epcot area resort. And so finally having an option, it kind of solidified that. I've always loved Grand Floridian and I love the quality, but I wasn't going to go spend the money for $245 a point is what it's at now. So Riviera was kind of a good, I wouldn't say consolation, but it was a good secondary option to those types of scenarios. So it was an easy choice. And it's going to be interesting watching, you know, and kind of seeing how the booking patterns work and such. But I'm hoping that it ends up being one of those resorts that you can get what you want at 11 months. You may have to fight a few every once in a while for certain times of the year, but I think it's going to be big enough and it's going to have some exclusivity to where the booking patterns are going to be manageable. It's not going to be like Copper Creek Studios where you're sitting there fighting for them year round.
Got it. Now, Joe, were your parents original beach club owners?
Yeah, we bought pre-construction. We toured in what would have been late 2001. And then we ended up closing on the contract in 2002. But I mean, we essentially bought it in 2001 back before it even opened. Yeah, we were one of those lucky ones to buy back then and sell it for twice of what it actually cost us to buy it. So,
yeah, absolutely. So it sounds like everybody's happy with their Riviera Resort purchase there.
I'm very happy with it. I'm trying not to just have like enamored with it because it's so new and things and kind of sitting back. But already I'm like, well, you know, maybe I could buy just 25, 50, 75 points resale that I can only use at Riviera because it's that good to me right now. But I'm trying to hold off on that feeling just in case I'm just infatuated right now or something.
You want to see how you feel when the new wears off.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, I looked at this and my family decided that we're definitely going to stay there again. And our resale contracts are old enough that we can stay there on those points with them. So I'm looking forward to that. I don't know that we liked it enough that we want to own there. We're still on the fence, Joe, about selling the beach club just because 2042 is coming.
And you can make some serious money on it right now. So
I know. And I still paid like $105 for my beach club resale.
Yeah, we paid $72. So $72 and sold it for $150.
Yeah, I know. Trust me. I watch those things. I don't know if I could like part with that, but I would be tempted to. But I still don't know if I could do the whole resale restriction thing.
Right.
After having stayed there, I kept my mind open through that and really was upset with DVC for doing that. And I can honestly say one of the things that I'll put in my cast compliment for Antonio was when I first walked in and started talking with him, I had that great 30-minute conversation. It was almost like a therapy session to let me know, hey, look, even though I'm still upset over this decision, it's still DVC.
Yeah.
They still have an awesome cast working here and it's going to be okay, right? This resort is still going to be okay because it's still ran by Disney and it's still got magic and it's still going to be at that level. But it really did blow up my whole expectations of DVC because I wanted to just buy in, ride my contracts out for 10 years, sell them and go buy more.
Right.
And that was kind of my strategy. And I'm going, well, that's out the window now. Yeah.
Well, I think it's one of those things that we've watched it over time and all these various things that they have done throughout the years to shrink the resale market. And they finally just said, we're going to squash it. We're going to do our best we can. But for me, when we were buying in, we're a DVC for life type of family in the sense of I will always have some points, right? I could go through the worst financial crisis of my life and have to dump a bunch of stuff. I'll just jump my other two contracts first. I'll just hold Riviera, but I'm never going to completely vacate. So that part never really scared me. Now I only bought 75 points too. I didn't go drop by 150, 200, 225. But I keep coming back to that mindset too of this is going to be the way going forward. Riviera is number one, but then you're going to see it with Reflections. In 2042, when all those resorts expire, we're going to see all of them. I can almost see it in my mind right now.
They're going to be on the new system.
They're going to be on the new system. You're going to watch a month or two after they all expire. They're all going to start coming back online as far as new sales, and they're going to be part of the new system. And it's going to be the status quo eventually. We're not far from 2042 hitting. So as long as you're not one of those types that's going to sell in 10 years, it really may not end up being a big deal.
Yeah, that's true. When I heard that you came from a family who's been in since Beach Club origin, I was like, yep, you're a lifer.
Okay? Yes, we are. Yeah.
And I can honestly say my wife and I are going to be lifers. And so we'll always keep some level of direct contracts no matter what. I don't know what's going to happen with my kids. I don't know what's going to happen with them going forward, where we could be in a situation where we do have to liquidate all of our contracts. And so if a kid really, let's just say something catastrophic like leukemia or something like that hits, these contracts are gone in a nanosecond.
Yeah.
Okay. No looking back, that kind of a deal. So I always look at that and go, what's worst case scenario and how do I prepare for that? And then anything above that is pretty good.
Well, okay. And you get into one of those worst case scenario situations where you're trying to just completely jerk rid of stuff. You take a hit on your Riviera contract, right? So you buy at 188 and you end up only selling it for 100. Are you really going to care that you lost $88 a point when your kids have leukemia? No, you're really not going to care. Then that's how you kind of have to look at some of this stuff is if it ever gets into that do or die situation, if I get to the point where I have to dump this contract, it's probably something that's not going to really matter all that much in the grand scheme of things anyways.
And I think there's a silver lining to that, because I think this resort could very well pull it off to be a destination resort. Because if you look at the whole history of those restrictions, DVC comes back into this and they go, okay, the resale market's too hot. Let's take this away from them. And the core product was so strong, we overcame it and the resale market continued. So then they come back in and they say, okay, well, now you can't book cruises with this. Now you can't get annual pass discounts with this. Now you can't get a merchandise discount with this. Now you can't. And every time it was the core product was so strong. And so this time they came along and went, okay, we hear you. The core product is so strong. Let's cripple the core product when it hits the resale market. And you look at that and you go, yep, that's exactly what they did. I still say there's a good chance that the core product could be so strong here, Joe.
It might not make a difference.
It's not going to matter that much.
No, I mean, I've watched six contracts sell, and I've already seen some selling in the 150 per point range, which is, if you look
insane.
If you look back at previous resorts that are under current active sale from DVC Direct, you're going to look at a 30-40% reduction in point costs on the resale market during that time frame. So, I mean, it's performing along with any of the other ones. You look at Polynesian. Polynesian was selling for $125, $130 per point while it was still selling direct at whatever it was, $175. I can't even remember the number, but I mean, it was like 30 or 40% reduction. So if it continues that pace, I don't think it's going to make a difference.
Yeah, time will tell on that one. I can tell you, if this ends up being like a beach club or being like a Grand Californian, where it becomes a destination resort and everybody wants the 11-month window there, it's going to be a strong enough resort that it's not going to matter. Where it's going to matter is going to be when they build the next Saratoga. So it really depends on how great of a resort they have out there. Because I can tell you right now, I do not like the restrictions. Shut up and take my money for that Disneyland hotel tower. I don't care about it because I know they can't just drain another swamp and put up another timeshare building.
Yeah.
They don't have the space. It's going to hold its value even if you can only book there. Because you know what? I own 200 points at Grand Cal, and heaven forbid I use a Grand Cal point anyplace other than Grand Cal.
Yeah, you're not gonna burn that. No way.
So I'm self-restricting my points there as well. And I cringed when I had to use some beach club points at non-beach club because I had some left over this year, but I'm not going to Walt Disney World next year, I'm going to Aulani. So I'm like, even if I bank the beach club points, it's not going to do me any good. I'm just going to use them at Aulani next year. So I might as well just spend them now this year. That's my take on this whole resale restrictions deal that's coming. It's a wait and see. And I don't think it's as bad as what we've anticipated, but we just have to wait and see how this thing plays out. I think 8 years forward, when statistically speaking, 50% of the owners have exited and there's all of these resale points on the market, and what happens at that point in time, that'll be when we really start to figure out what's going on with this.
Yep.
I mentioned this earlier and we got into some really great conversation. So any other final thoughts on Riviera before we wrap up the show?
I have one in terms of a booking thing for people. Just, it's kind of one of those little things you're never going to notice until you go to the resort. If you're one of those people that wants to have a walkout patio, be like ground floor walkout patio, you have to book preferred.
Oh, really?
There are not a single one in the standard category that's going to have a walkout patio.
That is good to know. Is that because there's no ground floor rooms?
Exactly. There's no ground floor rooms on the front of the building where the standard category is. It's all second floor, and it's all the second floor faces that all the water work, you know, all the fountains there. So it's a balcony, not a patio. So the only patios are on the Skyliner side and then the backside by the pool and everything else.
And they're all preferred.
They're all preferred.
Yeah, great observation there. Amy?
Just that it's a beautiful resort and give it a chance. Go stay for a couple of nights and do everything you can on property. And I think you'll love it.
I think that's some really wise advice because we liked it there and we intend on going back. But for us right now, I'm glad this is in the network and I'm glad our points will let us get there. Well, thanks everybody for joining us today. And thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Chad.
Thank you.
Well, that puts a wrap on our Disney's Riviera Resort series. So far, we've talked to 7 different Riviera Resort owners. And if you've got more questions here, be sure to reach out to your DVC guide. If you'd like to hang out with some other Disney Riviera Resort owners, Joe, Caleb, Amy, and myself would love to have you join us in the Facebook group, Disney Riviera Resort Owners. I'd like to thank DVC Rental Store for sponsoring today's show. If add-on-itis has just got you, which I've heard from several listeners that our little series here has really just sparked up a case of add-on-itis, be sure to add on those contracts. If you buy them before your use year begins, you'll get double points this year and you'll have extra points to go rent out. And DVC Rental Store has got a ton of people lined up wanting to rent the Riviera Resort. I'd like to thank B. Newcomb 1176 for this 5-star review. Chad does a great job. He covers all aspects of DVC and ownership. I look forward to listening to his podcast. Well, thank you so much for that awesome review. And thank you everybody for listening to today's show and sharing it out on social media. Our growth has been phenomenal, and it's all because of you guys and sharing out the show. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a magical day.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know we'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.